Recalibration, a Jupiter Ascending fanfic by Cloud Lake. Chapter 4, City Center. At the midday meal, Julie catches them up on her evening with Titus. She's gathered that he's aware of the rumored threats to Jupiter's life, and they aren't in his interest. If something happens to Jupiter, Earth will go to his sister. She couldn't extract his plans for the planet, though. If Jupiter doesn't have a lawyer, Julie has a firm on retainer. They just need to work on a plan for the social side of the trial. The public is taking quite a bit of interest in this young queen that may have taken a willing splice as a lover. This would bring an ally of the non-humans, a low caste group, but not without influence. Julie again remains oddly neutral and quiet, not revealing her own thoughts. So Jupiter turns to Kane and Stinger. While I know I need to be of my own mind, I'm still at a severe disadvantage when it comes to knowledge of the verse. In my mind, I don't see either of you as anything short of amazing, despite what everyone else thinks, and I refuse to be motivated politically in matters of the heart. But would it hurt to let it be known that I do love you, Kane? What do you two think? Stinger speaks up first. I'm always skeptical of an entitled who says they care for one of my kind, with the exception of your majesty, of course. Your simple background, innocence, and dedication are very rare. Frowning as he thinks, Kane ponders every aspect of what she's asked. Jupiter squeezes his hand and then goes back to her lunch while she waits. The others follow her example, hoping that Kane won't feel pressured to be quick about an answer. He's usually very insightful when he does speak his mind. It could be used to win a following, but I respectfully ask your majesty to wait. You don't need any negative media attention during your court battle. He speaks only to her, intent on making sure his words are what he wants. Thank you, both of you, for your thoughts. I know trust doesn't come easily to either of you. Jupiter smiles gratefully. Julie lifts her glass and offers. To trust and friendship! There's a matter I'd like to speak to your majesty about in private. Would it be convenient to chat about it while I take your majesty shopping in the city center this afternoon? Sounds terrific. Jupiter's eyes light up and she hasn't been able to go shopping in so long. Softest City Center. In a private compartment of her flying coach, Julie broaches the matter she'd alluded to at lunch. So far, our interests have aligned more closely than I could have hoped. As I'm sure Stinger has told your majesty, I also had a splice consort. Jupiter's surprise gives her away. Actually, I hadn't yet, but I'm glad to know I'm not the first. That will be a big help to Kane. And please, call me Jupiter. Sorry for interrupting. Jupiter reaches for Julie in a sisterly fashion. She's becoming fond of this kind lady so quickly. Well, dear Jupiter, this test is one that will be likely more difficult. I'd like to know your thoughts on the regeneration process. Would there be any circumstances where you would utilize it? I guess what I'm asking is that you've only seen the Abraxas methods. There are other options. I've mentioned I will not renew myself at the end of this cycle, but I've been through renewal on multiple occasions. Take your time to think it through. First with what you know, then again after you learn about the other extraction processes. A darkness flitters on Jupiter's face, but she nods assention. Just to be clear, there isn't a set time you need my answer by, right? I know so little about it. Her expression turns to a pleading one. By all means, dear, just start gathering your thoughts. I ask these things of you because you will need to have your own mind on them at some point. It's best they not sneak up on you like they did to me. Julie looks a bit chagrined at having to admit that, but she squeezes Jupiter's hand and is rewarded with the same in return. So you're making me think things out before I fall flat on my face. Thank you. Jupiter, you find the most colorful and direct ways to put your thoughts. Julie giggles and it spreads to both of the ladies. Jelaine Taylors. Taking delight in a new customer, Jewel the tailor and his assistants make a fuss over Jupiter, thanking Julie for bringing her to them. They'll provide Jupiter with her first wardrobe on the house. When Jupiter questions it, Julie reminds her that the outfits will be seen by many at court, and the shop will gain more business than the clothes are worth. It's a win-win. Jewel steps back from his latest customer in canvas to examine her and get his impression. He scowls at her comfortable, aegis uniform. He has Jupiter stand with poses imitating several attitudes, then asks her to turn around slowly. He takes digital samples of her skin, eye, and hair color. Then he has her change into undergarments that are more suitable for royalty. "Not this," he mumbles as he holds up her old clothes as if they're foul-smelling trash. She can't fathom what he sees wrong with it, and shrugs. Kane has his back turned, and his pointy ears are a little red, only allowing himself to turn around when she has a longer camisole on. Jewel then asks if her male companion will be needing attire also. Before Jupiter can reply, Kane surprises her with a bit of boldness. "I'll need to look the part to be by Her Majesty's side." Jewel looks to Jupiter, who gives a nod, with an approving twinkle in her eye. She asks, "Kane, you won't send me out when they fit you, will you?" Taken by surprise, Kane fumbles over his words. I would not deprive Your Majesty." Who would have thought the great hunter of the Legion could be so modest? Chuli teases him gently, then does the same to Jupiter. "You'll have your work cut out for you, dear." "He's worth it. I think I knew when he simply swept me up and stepped out a 100-story window into thin air, with me clinging terrified to him." Jupiter's gaze on him is all admiration. "Oh, this is a story I must hear." That was before we both found out that I needed to claim my homeworld to save it. He was the only one who made it through the lines on Orus with me to claim my title. He also dropped from orbit into the largest hurricane in my galaxy, and only a zero to save me from Balem. Jewel's eyebrow arches in surprise, and Chuli offers, "I doubt there's greater loyalty in the entire verse, Lieutenant." In a quiet, determined fashion, he elaborates. She was trapped there alone with him as he tried to make her choose between her planet and her family. "You two have been through a great deal together already, I see. No wonder the bond is deep. But I will have the details later from both of you." "You're as bad as my mother, Chuli." When Kane's turn arrives to be evaluated for garb, Jupiter can't tear her eyes away. Watching him through each step, especially through the attitude transitions, feels like she learns something new about him. When he's about to exit the changing room, she asks if he'd like her to turn around for this part. "That would defeat the purpose, Your Majesty." There's an ever so slight smirk on his face that makes her stifle a little girl-like laugh. Standing there at attention in just a pair of silk boxers, he meets her gaze, like he's asking for her approval. Her heart is in her throat, but she gives an appreciative meek smile and nod. As if that's just what he needed to know, he amuses himself by staring at the ceiling while she watches and truly fans herself. His wings are a bit restless, but otherwise he comes off very nonchalant as the tailor takes his measurements. Jupiter wonders to herself how he can be such a confusing mixture of cocky and humble. Will he ever return to being the confident hunter she first met? They leave the shop in attire that suits each of their styles, but is much more fashionable than when they entered. Jewel picked a light butter-yellow blouse, purple scarf, pine-green leggings, and green-amber royalty choker, sandals, and wide-rim sunshades for her. For him, narrow sunshades, charcoal-gray high-neck shirt that buttons on the side, matching leather pants, and thigh-length black leather jacket that conceals his holstered handgun. The rest of their wardrobe will be forwarded to Chuli's estate when it's ready. She waits for Kane as he holds the door for both herself and Chuli, and then slips her arm into his. "Just look at you two, so charming together. There are gawkers all the way across the street, you know." Chuli chitters happily in their direction. Reaching up to whisper in his ear, she also kisses his cheek. "You're the only one who makes me feel like being royalty might be something special, maybe even worth all the fuss." "Your Majesty is the effect, not the result. Your presence affects all those around. Don't forget it when we go to court and they try to make Your Majesty feel inadequate, trying to tear you down. I won't be able to be on the witness stand with you, but the beautiful confidence Your Majesty has now will blow them all away. Capture this moment in your mind for when you need it." He covers her hand on his arm with his own.
"He's right, Jupiter, darling," Chuli pipes in. Jupiter had almost forgotten her friend was there. Taking Kane at his word, she stops right where they are and closes her eyes. Breathes in a deep breath, almost willing the moment to be a photograph in her mind. "Then we'll be what is needed to win the day." "That's the spirit!" Chuli takes her arm on the other side. They fill the walkway, making the crowd part for them as they meander back to the carriage.